what's up, guys? This is Craig from The Mindful Habit. Thank you so much for joining us on this call. I love talking to you guys. It's just such a special time for me to connect with you, to help keep you on track and keep you motivated. So if you're listening to this, please participate. The men who are on this call, do not bite. We are nurturing. We are supportive, not judgmental. We all want to move forward. Speaking of moving forward, I just read an incredible article that I want to share with you. Since 1938, the University of Harvard has been conducting a study. It's called the Grant Study, and they've been trying to answer some of life's fundamental questions. How do we grow and change? What do we value as time goes on? And what is likely to make us happy and fulfilled? So out of this study came five lessons that the Huffington Post featured in the article that I sent around with the invitation to this teleconference. So I want you to read it. But the first one, right? What do we need in our lives to be happy and to be meaningful? And this is no surprise, right? Because if you know me, you know what a big fan I am of Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And that's why when we get to the goal-setting part of this exercise or of this program, I ask two questions. What do you want to accomplish? That's a picture of what success looks like. And second, why? Why? Why is that important to you? Why do you care? In the universe of things you could have written down, this is what you want to accomplish, because it's that passion, it's that fire, it's that fuel. And we talked a little bit about this earlier before I started recording. The cure for this affliction is the aggressive pursuit of a great life. So, like the Beatles said, love is really all that matters. And the psychologist who completed this study said two things. There are two pillars of happiness. One he loves, one is love. And the other is finding a way of coping with life that does not push love away. And what I love about this article, because when we talk about pornography, it brings up so many issues for so many people, religious, cultural, moral, freedom of speech. There are just so many issues surrounding. And the lens through which I like to look at pornography, or the place where I put my stake in the ground, is from a masculine perspective. Is porn moving us towards love, or is it moving us away from love? And I think you're here and you guys all know the answer to that question. But the two pillars of happiness, one is love and the other is finding a way of coping with life that does not push love away. And so think about the habit cycle. Okay, think about the habit cycle and think about your reactions to your partner when you get defensive, when you get angry, when you are triggered to move away from your partner towards pornography. That's our first step. For some of us men, that is our first step. It's a move away. It's a disconnect. Now, there are a variety of different reasons for that. Some of you have experienced significant childhood trauma. Some of you have, you know, some of it's just simply genetic, but I believe it's all just overwhelming majority of it is the environmental component to it. But there are reasons we step away. We have been programmed for that first step to be away from love. And so, but that doesn't mean that has to be the second step or the third step or the fourth step. And that's why awareness around the habit cycle, when we move away from love, when we move to isolate, when we disconnect, knowing that, learning that has empowered me to use that energy, feeling that energy shift in the body from positive to negative. That's how I define the trigger. Using that energy shift to wake up, wait a minute, move towards love. And so this is where you can use your compulsive sexual behavior, your compulsive self-deprecating behavior, because frankly, that's way worse than the sex for the overwhelming majority of guys that I work with. That's the driver. Talk about common denominators. One of them is there is a subpersonality. If you haven't gotten to that section yet, that's a part of you, a separate and distinct parts of you with needs, wants, and desires completely inconsistent with just about everybody else inside you. I see this self-deprecating guy, not good enough guy. So habits can help us move towards love on that second step, right? That first step doesn't have to define us. So I want you to think about that and think about what you're doing in your life knowing. We got it right here. You can, it's proof, scientific proof. When you are lying on your deathbed, when you're 80 years old and you are, did you live a happy, productive life? The answer will be yes, when you've had love in your life and love in your life through relationships. The second part of that pillar of success is finding a way of coping with life that does not push love away. And one of the fundamental components of this program is balance, right? Is finding balance in our lives, having hobbies, having spirituality, creating positive relationships, living a metrics-driven life. Because you guys all know this if you've been successful in business or anywhere, really. What gets measured gets done. What if we took those criteria, the fundamental five, eating, sleeping, drinking, exercise, and mindfulness, add those to the six key life areas where we do our goals, career, finances, health, hobbies, relationships, and spirituality. Now you've got a scorecard. Now you have a dashboard that you can use. And I have some clients who I don't see as much anymore who've kind of moved beyond this program. They're still doing their happiness index. They're still measuring their success in each one of these key life areas. So that's, I just want to show you how you can use this program to achieve love and to find a way of coping with life, right? Because life is going to have all of our, just challenges up and down. So the second point that they made in the article was it's more than money and power. I think you guys know that. Money and power is certainly important for some people, less so for others. But money, in terms of achievement, when it came to professional part of our lives as men, the only thing that really matters is that you be content at your work. So just think about that for a second. Am I content at my work? Is there something else that I'd rather be doing? Why aren't I doing it? What are the barriers? What would it take to overcome them? And the third point, which I really liked, and that kind of was talking to me, someone who had sunk so low and so dark and, lost my job and all the other crap that I've shared with you guys in the past, regardless of how we begin life, we can all become happier. Duh. Right? You guys know that. There's always an opportunity to change. Many of my men, including me, have experienced profound trauma in their lives at the hands of the people who were supposed to love them. And that trauma comes in the form of physical abuse and sexual abuse and mental abuse. And the last one that gets so overlooked but is probably one of the most detrimental, seriously, of all the what I've mentioned so far is neglect. That there's that disconnect of love. It's just not there. For so many of us. But look, connection is crucial, is the fourth point they make in the article. Joy is connection. The more areas in your life you can make a connection, the better. So the study found that strong relationships to be far and away the strongest predictor of life satisfaction. And in terms of career satisfaction, feeling connected to one's work was far more important than making money or achieving traditional success. And here's the conclusion, right? This is the guy leading this study that's been going on for 75 years. The conclusion is that connection is the whole shooting match. The last and not least is challenges, and the perspective they give you can only make you happier. Now, let's just think about that for a second. Think about the challenge that you all are undertaking, which is one, to find your healthy sexuality, not to stop doing anything, to find a healthy sexuality that is going to empower you and take you where you want to go, move you towards love and connection. And none of that means not having great, fun sex with your partner. No, rock on. That's what we want, healthy sexuality. The second part is what we achieve in our lives and the opportunity that that you have right now, forget about the program, what you have right now, regain your power of choice and connection with your sexuality, and use this breach, this place where your power of choice has been compromised, to master yourself, to learn more about yourself, and to create a deeper awareness than you've ever had, period. That's my goal of everybody going through this program, to leave, one of them, with a far deeper awareness than you've ever had about yourself from a couple of different areas. One is kind of the, look at our habits. Look at how our habits are getting in the way of our success. How can we use them to drive us towards the life we want? Right? And then there's the emotional stuff, the baggage, the stuff that we're still carrying from our past, the programming. Right? I want you to learn and bring as much awareness as you possibly can, particularly in the first 3-4 weeks of the program, around these two very, very, very critical areas, because once you have awareness, then you can take accountability, and then you can take action. So read this article if you haven't read it already. Read the study if you can. The article links to it. Real, real powerful piece of scientific confirmation that the only thing that matters is love. And I want you guys to get that and to get that in a really big way. So thanks for joining me, and I'm going to shut off the recording now. We can talk amongst ourselves.